Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
We may not be able to go directly during the standard approach of a transaction, but there is always a workaround. If you're willing to do the work and the research, there's always a how. Don't take no for face value.
If you're a passive investor wanting to learn more about questions to ask sponsors in order to qualify the opportunities, in order to qualify the sponsor, in order to qualify the market that the property is in, then go to besteverpassiveinvestor.com. My team and I created this site just for you so that there is a free resource available to you to learn about the questions to ask, the things to think through prior to investing in deals. So go to besteverpassiveinvestor.com. It's a free resource for you that was made just for you. Best ever listeners, how you doing? Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever show. I'm Joe Fairless. This is the world's longest running daily real estate investing podcast where we only talk about the best advice ever. We don't get into any of the fluffy stuff. With us today, Michael Glaspie. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great, Joe. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing great as well and looking forward to our conversation. A little bit about Michael. He's a commercial real estate broker, also served in the U.S. Special Operations. Thank you, sir, for keeping us all safe when you were in the Army. And a thank you to your colleagues as well. Invests in real estate himself, too. And in fact, holds over 35 rental properties with over 1.5 million assets under management based in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So first, Michael, how about you give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and your current focus, and then we'll go from there.
Absolutely. So I am based out here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I've been active duty military for a little over 11 years. When I first started investing, it was in 2014, and I purchased a standard single family home, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, 1,200 square feet. Now, I know many people listening are thinking that's not an investment, that's a liability. Well, at that time, single soldier, I was young, I rented out each one of the rooms to other people in my unit. And I didn't know it at the time, but obviously I was house hacking. During that period, I was looking for many different ways to create revenue. So MLMs, Uber driving, Lyft driving, whatever the case may be. But as I began to do more research, I saw that real estate was a common denominator in many people's success stories. So I just dove all in. I started to wholesale during that time because from all the research, it seemed like just the natural progression. Well, the first two wholesales, I completely bombed, lost a lot of money on those.
Learned a lot of good lessons. How do you lose money on wholesale?
I'm going to tell you how. So here in the market, now working with wholesale, they exchange money upon the signing of the initial contract with the seller. And as long as they put down any type of money, it's considered a valid contract. Well, here they'll put down a dollar. Well, me being so anxious getting started, I'd put down $500, $1,000 on a home that I obviously had it under contract for way more than I should have, because I couldn't pay a buyer to take it off of me. And actually ended up being pretty bad, because not only did I lose the money during the contract, but I had asked the seller to force her brother, who was living in the property, out of the property to make it more marketable. So I've learned a lot, and I apologize profusely to her back then. Hopefully she's not still mad at me many years later.
But that they lost money and karma points.
And karma points, a lot of karma points. So I stuck with it a little bit longer, and I ended up doing, I think, two more successful deals where collectively I made a little over $5,000. But ultimately, I realized that the reason I got into real estate in the first place was to create that passive income. And ultimately, I wanted to do that through buy and holds. So I really started to focus on, okay, well, the wholesaling thing, that's fine. But if I'm going to continue this energy and this focus here, then that needs to be my primary objective. So I decided to just go ahead and focus on buy and hold. At that point in time, I didn't have the capital. So I started to research more creative ways to acquire real estate. And luckily enough, being here in the military town, we have something where the military forces you to move from location to location. We call it a PCS, or a permanent change of station. And there was a couple who bought a house 1 year, the next year they refinanced it, and the third year, the military forced them to move. So they had zero equity in the property. If they were to sell it, they would have to pay somewhere around $10,000 in closing costs, realtor commissions, et cetera. So I decided to go ahead and approach them with a subject to, or a deed in lieu of. And it worked out in our favor.
How'd you know about subject twos at that time?
Just research. When I started, I read a lot of blogs, read a lot of books, but I went to a lot of local real estate investor meetups. And there was one person who mentioned it at one of the meetups. And he said, "Have you ever thought about subject two?" And as soon as he said that, I just deep dived into it. Was my best friend then. Bigger Pockets was instrumental in that development as well. And it kind of worked out. Now, the way it really worked out was I had an attorney. I knew that I couldn't really figure this out by myself throughout the whole process. So I found a local attorney who practiced subject to regularly. And I had him actually carry me and the client and the seller at the time through the entire process. So it worked out in all of our favors. But once I accomplished that, I said, this is a no-brainer. There's many creative ways to continue to acquire real estate. So continue to go forward. I do multiple subject to owner finance deals. I did a VA live-in flip. Essentially, I used my VA loan to purchase a foreclosure, fix it up while I lived in there, and I sold it in less than a year. At that time, I made a pretty decent net profit, a little over $20,000. But when I looked at the closing disclosure, I noticed that I paid my friend and my realtor at the time very close to $12,000. That was the time that I decided to go ahead and get licensed. I got licensed as an agent, so I continued to invest myself, but I actually partnered with my current business partner now. She was a dominant real estate agent in the area that focused primarily on investors. And so once we kind of joined forces, we decided to go ahead and build the team as it stands now to cater to not only investors, but to fellow veterans to help kind of educate them on the whole mindset of passive income.
So you got 1.5 million assets under management, 35 rental properties. What property is worth the most in that portfolio?
I would say it's probably an 8-unit that we have that's a little over 500,000, right around 550,000. But when we purchased it collectively in a 21 unit portfolio. So it was 2 8-units and a 5-unit that we collected all at once from the same seller. But I would say that that 1 8-unit property is probably the most expensive.
And how much is that worth?
That's a little over 500,000. I think last it appraised for 535.
And will you talk to us about how you came across that deal and what the business plan is with it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we started off cold calling. We all come from a background of being investors first. And so I actually drove by beautiful little 5-unit in a small subdivision that I constantly drove by throughout my time here in the area. And I decided one day I'm just going to cold call them. Cold called, nice elderly lady who was just going through a situation where her husband had just passed. She wanted to let go of the property. She didn't really know how to go about it. She didn't really trust realtors in the area. So we kind of just over the course of about 6 months, we continued the negotiations until she was finally ready to accept our offer. Once we got that property under
contract. How do you continue the negotiations over that period of time and not be a pest, but also still be relevant?
Yeah. So I found a good medium of about every 2 weeks to every 3 weeks, we'd follow up. But every time I followed up, I tried to provide a solution for her. As I mentioned, her husband had just passed. She was trying to go through some of the tax liabilities involved with that and getting next to her daughter who lived in California, which is across the country. And there's so many different things going on that every time I called her, I tried to provide her with a new solution. I gave her contact information for CPAs. I gave her contact information for 1031 specialists. I offered to help her move some of the equipment from one of her properties to another one of her properties. And I just continued to try to provide as much value as possible. And over time, I believe that that rapport was built up enough that she had just wanted to continue the conversation. And then she became accepting, I guess, or trusting in me and what my intentions were.
That's a great tip. That's really good. Okay, so I interrupted you. You were negotiating and staying in touch with her in a relevant way by providing a solution every time you talked to her, every 2 to 3 weeks. And then what happened?
And then from there, once we got it under contract, I made sure that I took the burden to handle everything. So coordinating with the tenants, getting the inspectors in there, getting the attorneys on both sides on board, I coordinated everything. And I ended up making it so easy for her and so smooth that she actually came to me and said, hey, I have more properties that I'd be interested in selling. And she actually owned quite a few, but we were only interested in a select few of them. So we identified those other 2, 8 units. And once we started the process with the first 5 units, we just continued forward and closed them all up. Now, how we financed them, that's a different story. So we did find a commercial lender who was willing to do 25% down, 30-year amortization. So that was good. Interest rates were a little under 6%. So a little higher than normal, but not overall too bad. And collectively between me and my partners, there's 4 partners. We just raised the money any way we could because we still didn't have the money when we were starting to acquire those. So, I mean, we took lines of credit, depending on which partner's approach. Some of us took out lines of credit. Some of us just had personal money from friends or family, whatever we needed to do to raise that 25% down payment and the reserves requirements and close.
How do you divide and conquer the responsibilities among 4 partners?
That's a really, really good question. And it actually came through some headaches in the beginning. As I'm sure everybody out there knows, once you work with other individuals, there's a lot of opinions that may go around. But what we decided to do was we highlighted everybody's strengths. Then we just essentially made an organizational chart. And I have to thank the military for that because that's how we were groomed. And all 4 of us are all from the military. So we understood this very well. Once we divided those tasks based off of our strengths, we made that organizational chart. We then had monthly follow-ups where that individual was ultimately in charge for that section. So for example, when it comes to the accounting and the bookkeeping, that's my realm. So I talk specifically to the bookkeeper and the accountant about these properties, and I report back to my partners about the results and so forth and so on. And we have another individual that's specifically in charge of coordinating with the property management company and so forth and so on.
Well, what are the other two do?
We call it investment relations. And the reason why is because we're looking at bringing in more investors to invest in that specific LLC. So we currently have 21 properties in that LLC and we're looking to acquire more. Oh, I'm sorry. We have 24 properties now in that LLC. It was a 21 acquisition just at that time. So he's constantly bringing in more and more investors, potentially partner with that. And the second one is Just Capital. He was the only one that was extremely liquid and we used him. And so he's
still there. Well, did I hear you correct that you have over 20 properties, I think it's at 21 properties owned by one LLC.
24, let me rephrase that. It's 24 doors.
Owned by one LLC.
Yes, that is correct.
Why not have one LLC on one property?
We've thought about this long and hard. So we all collectively, individually, we have our own portfolios as well. And so those are divided up however those individuals chose to divide it up. The reason we wanted to keep it all under one LLC is because our strategy is not to hold these indefinitely. We're actually looking at repositioning a few of them and then selling them. And we didn't really see the necessity to do that. And with such a short turnaround, we're looking over the next 3 to 5 years to sell off at least 2 of the 4, essentially, because they're 4 different locations. So we're looking at selling off at least 2 of them. And then from there, we gave the option for some of our partners to actually be bought out as well. That's built into our operating agreement. So because we really wanted the flexibility of how we can kind of move around, we wanted to keep it under one roof because we don't expect them to stay there that long. We do understand the risk involved in that and that now all doors are subject to any sort of lawsuit or claims against us or whatever the case may be. But it was a collective decision where we sat down and said that maybe it won't be too bad.
What's been the most profitable property to date?
Actually, for me, in my personal portfolio, it was a straight off the MLS. It was priced at $60,000. I got the seller to pay all the closing costs. It was turnkey for all intents and purposes. I bought it for 15% down using a regional lender, and I rented it out in less than 3 weeks at $975 a month. Mm-hmm. And that's been my best cash flow.
And you still own it?
Yep, still own that one.
Is that in Fayetteville?
Yes, that is.
What about the least profitable, other than the two wholesale deals?
Least profitable would still be that first property that I purchased originally. It's still to this day the least profitable. I had used a VA loan on it, so there's still barely any equity in it back in 2014, and it rents out now for $1,100 a month. The mortgage is somewhere right around $900, so it's very low, low, low cash flow margin.
What's a part of your process that you've optimized over the last year or so?
For me, I've really learned how to optimize the leverage. So there's many different things going on. I'm still active duty currently. I'm on my way out the door, but that's still an obligation. We do have the business that we're running as real estate brokers. We have our portfolios that we're overseeing. And I'm also currently working on my MBA. So there's a lot of different hands are in the bucket everywhere, right? And so what I've learned is you have to leverage and you have to lean on others for support. I would not be able to accomplish anything up to this point without my partners, without finding key individuals. And yes, that comes at a premium. I do pay for my leverage. But ultimately, when you double down on your strengths and you leverage out your weaknesses, you find that you'll become 10 times more productive and efficient.
Based on your experience, what's your best real estate investing advice ever?
Best advice ever is that there is no such thing as no. If I would just accept no at face value from somebody said, nope, that's not possible. Oh, we can't do that. That's not within the scope of our work, et cetera, then nothing would ever get accomplished. I'm a firm believer that there is always a how to anything. So yes, we may not be able to go directly through the standard approach of a transaction, but there is always a workaround. If you're willing to do the work and the research, there's always a how. Don't take no for face value.
Will you give an example of how you've applied that in your life?
Absolutely. So wholesaling, here's a great example. So we had to actually switch firms. As I mentioned, we're investors first and we work primarily with investors. So we have a lot of internal wholesalers on our team. We have a lot of other attorneys and things like that specifically know these investing strategies of subject twos, owner financing, auction properties, you name it. The last firm that we were at, they actually pulled us in the office and they said that we couldn't do wholesaling because wholesaling is illegal. Obviously, we know that wholesaling isn't illegal. It's just about how you perform it, especially as a real estate professional. We have to disclose what our current position is. So that right there was a simple no. And if we had just accepted that no at face value and said, no, we cannot do a wholesale, or the way specifically they said, as a realtor, you cannot conduct a wholesale. We know that to be false. But if we had accepted as a no, then we would have stopped all production in that part of our business and we would have lost a lot of business because that's a large chunk of our revenue. Instead, what we did was we went to many different attorneys until we found a local attorney who was very well versed in wholesaling specifically. And he knew all of the documents that were necessary, all of the rules and regulations involved around it in the state of North Carolina. And then we developed and designed that portion of our business based off of his insight. And that's more so what I mean is don't take no. And then we also switched firms because obviously that broker in charge was just not willing to evolve with the time. So we switched firms to somebody who could understand it. We had to explain it to them. We partnered up with an excellent real estate attorney and so forth and so on. And that's just kind of an example.
We're going to do a lightning round. You ready for the best ever lightning round? Let's do it. First, quick word from our best ever partners. If you're a passive investor and want to learn more about Ashcroft Capital, the company I co-founded with my business partner, Frank, and in particular, want to learn more about our strategy and how we think about the opportunities that we purchase, go to ashcroftcapital.com and click the strategy button above, and you'll be able to read through our thought process we use when we're purchasing multifamily properties. What if you could earn $10,000 per month net cash flow for life? Now you can at the Residential Assisted Living Academy. Gene Guarino teaches you how to take a single family house and turn it into a cash flow machine. Visit RALacademy.com to learn more. All right, best ever book that you've recently read?
The Go-Giver by Bob Berg.
What's the best ever resource that you use in your investing business that you think might be helpful for others to know about?
Bigger Pockets. The calculators and the forums are paramount.
What's the best ever way you like to give back to the community?
Two ways. We do have a local investor meetup. We call it Pints and Properties. We do that once a month, and that's really to kind of share and support any of the local real estate professionals. And the second way is anytime we do a charitable benefit, our charity of choice is the Green Beret Foundation. It's a military foundation specifically for the special forces operators out there in the world.
How can the best ever listeners learn more about what you're doing?
You can reach me on Instagram at michael.s.glaspie, or you can go directly to the Five Pillars website and you can get in contact with me or anybody else on my team.
Well, Michael, thank you for being on the show. Thanks for talking about the large deal that you have, as well as how you structure that partnership where you highlight the strengths, and based on those strengths, everyone has certain tasks and then there's monthly follow-ups. Such a simple but effective process. And I'm a simple-minded person, so I like simple processes, and especially if they're effective, even better. And so thank you for that. And thank you for talking about how you've built a portfolio with partners as well as your personal portfolio. So really appreciate you being on the show. I hope you have a best ever day. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Joe.